Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 309 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Leonard, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I am doing fantastic.
That's good to hear. What do you got doing this weekend before we get into what we're talking about in the here and the now?
I was going to King of Trios, but I wanted to. But then I realized it was Labor Day weekend, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm probably going to end up going to the Italian Festival on the beautiful square in downtown Scranton.
They already start setting up for that last week.
Yeah, and now that the tents are on the street, so there's less parking, so new comic book day will be much more fun.
I get agita when I see those tents going up and those green lines get painted.
I know you have a problem with lines.
Not as many as you'd think, sir. Not as many as you'd think.
Right. I guess I know.
So we have, what was that?
I said, I guess we know what you're doing this weekend, so.
Yes, I'm going to Kim Trios for Chikara. Some of what's going on at King of Trios will be discussed on After Dark this week, amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of get a little tease for that up front, but we have the comic book show here to talk about, of course. We have DC and Marvel news, whether it be new stuff that Marvel is doing in 2017, changes to DC Rebirth already, and music to read comics by, I guess.
Sweet.
We also have the conventions going on this weekend. It is Labor Day weekend. It is Chikara King of Trios weekend, but there's a bunch of comic conventions going on, and one that makes me sad that is going on and we're not going to be there. Of course, digital sales and freebies. I do have the updated list of the Marvel freebies here. I did make sure to get that before we started recording, so I'm not swearing at myself off mic. Mm. Regarding that, and it's been DC heavy lately, man, and it's more DC from what we talked about, what we read from this past week, including both Blue Beetle Rebirth number 1 and Detective Comics 393, which we both read, and then The Hellblazer number 1, which Todd read, correct?
Yes, because we had a special request for it.
That's right. If there's something that you see on our list when you look at the pull post and, you know, one of us or both of us are reading it and you want to hear us talk about it, let us know. You know, we're here to accommodate you, the listener, as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also have what we're looking forward to coming out this week. Reminders about plugs and contests and ways to interact with us, whether it be the Pigskin Pick'em or our weekly question, our best blank, which this week was the Joker.
Mm.
So, let's get right into it, Todd.
Okay.
So, Marvel, specifically, Cullen Bunn has been teasing something simply called MU.
Ooh.
And it's Cullen Bunn and a variety of artists, from Greg Land to Steve McNiven to others.
Mm-hmm.
And they are telling us that we're going to find out more about this Thursday night.
Ooh,
what do you think this is, Todd?
Well, I heard a lot of speculation that it's the return of Wolverine, because the M and the U are metallic colored and there's scratches on them. So maybe it's Wolverine scratching out of the adamantium. And I think that's what it is. And it stands for Mutant Undone. And he's going to be an Inhuman.
if that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go pull that first podcast where we discuss this so we can get our royalty checks.
That's right. I have a lawyer who could help us.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, especially if we're in an accident, too. He specializes in that. So, but I think litigation will be fine.
Does his business card turn into a sponge?
What?
Does his business card turn into a sponge?
Yes, it does.
Oh, man. So, I don't know. I'll be very interested to see what it is. I like Cullen Bunn. I like the stuff that he does. I haven't been loving most of the mutant stuff at Marvel lately, only because it feels like it's just kind of there because they have to publish X books, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it's kind of like, oh, we're not sweeping it under the rug as they have the brush and the rug up just going. Yeah, so I know what you mean. I, other than Old Man Logan, which is barely a mutant book, I don't read much of it.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I got left hanging around. And, you know, that's, you know, it's, as Todd mentioned, it's less a mutant thing. It's mutant by proxy.
That's right. It's more of a revenge book.
Which is right up your alley.
Oh, revenge.
So Thursday night, 6:45 Eastern time, we will find out what these teasers are all about. Todd has cast his hat in the ring, if you will, that it's going to be some sort of Wolverine thing where they are going to say that he isn't inhuman. And I'll, you know, just for sake of togetherness, I'll say that's what it is as well.
That's right. A unified front here on Longbox Heroes.
Yes. So, and again, this has been a light news week, and you'll see as we get into these stories here. DC has been promoting through Spotify playlists created by the creators of some of their more recent books. Supergirl, the writer of that book, Steve Orlando, Deathstroke, the Carlo Pagulian, the artist, and artist Scott Collins on Blue Beetle compiled Spotify playlists to listen to, I guess, kind of the music that either they listened to while making the book or inspired them or whatever it is. Todd, I'm an old man who hates technology. I don't know what Spotify is.
I don't either. Is it like a Pandora and not the comic character from the New 52, but the music app?
I think it is.
I've never Spotified. Have you ever Spotified?
No, no Spotify, no Pandora. I just have a busted up MP3 player that's barely held together, doesn't hold a charge, that I have my music that I listen to and podcasts on it. That's it.
Me, I have my 8-track player. I won it for selling stuff in the Boy Scouts. And my favorite 8-track tape, Boxcar Willie. I'm not making that up, by the way.
I had a collection of 8-tracks of my dad's favorite artists, Alice Cooper and the Monkees.
Oh, growing. That was Alice Cooper's real snake, but it was not Mike Nesmith's real hat.
Yes. So I don't know. I think this is a cool way for creative teams to interact and kind of, you know, show a little bit more. I know I've seen on Twitter before people have kind of tweeted these sort of things out, whether it be Pandora or Spotify playlists. But the fact that like DC is kind of, you know, getting behind it, you know, I think that's kind of cool, showing DC getting involved with the modern technology.
That's right. Apps. It's the new thing. Mm-hmm. And not the pre-dinner apps, the ones for your phones and stuff.
Oh, I like when apps are only $4 each.
Oh,
but you have to go to the place real late at night, and they're usually junky anyway.
I like when it's the $10 all-you-can-eat apps, the endless ones. And for $12, you can mix them up. So if like for $12, you get a buffet of like the apps. It's fantastic. It's good for the heart, too.
I need to know what places those are, because that sounds like it's right up my alley.
They're not a sponsor, but TGI Fridays has it occasionally.
Right.
They have a list of apps, and it's like $10 for like one, and it's bottomless. And then if you're like, oh, I want to change it up, then they charge you $2, and you can get like mozzarella sticks, pot stickers, loaded potato skins. Oh, it's fantastic.
I haven't been to TGI Fridays in quite some time. They change their menu too damn much.
I don't know. They have steaks, and we're, you know, steak on steak dinner, 2014. Yeah,
we're two years behind on that.
Oh, boy.
No offense. If I'm going to get a steak, we're going to go to that fancy place a couple doors down from the comic book shop where I think you have to wear a shirt to go in. I don't mean like a t-shirt, like an actual shirt with buttons on it.
Yes, Von Luga's.
Yes.
That's right. The place, it's named after a gun, I think. It's a meat gun, Von Luger.
I thought it was named after the Total Package.
Is he like a guy who delivers things?
Yes.
Package delivery? I don't know who that Luger is. Is he somebody?
Lex Luger, professional wrestler, the Total Package.
Mr. Luga?
No.
Lex Luga?
No, not Lex Luger.
From the first Superman movie?
I know what you mean. Oh, boy. So the other bit of DC news is what's going to happen to these books in 6 months to a year. So there's a lot of speculation as to what's going to happen. Speculation that the books that are shipping twice a month, after they're done with their six-month run, are going to go just to once a month. There's speculation that they're going to kind of change what books are going twice monthly, and then other books are going to be spin-off as to two books of the same title. A book like Wonder Woman, let's just say, for example, where one issue is one story and the other issue is another story, and the two are kind of intertwined with each other, but it is two stories going on, that the books that are kind of told in that fashion are going to split off as to two separate titles. So I guess, what are your thoughts on this? What do you feel about this? Do you think this is going to be, you know, what do you think is going to be the most successful way for DC to kind of do these things?
I think it's going to be by the book. No pun intended. It's going to be, you know, like Batman Detective are going to be twice a month because they'll sell and they'll sell well. Like you said, Wonder Woman will probably be because there's a present storyline and a past storyline. Wonder Woman book A, Wonder Woman book B. And then after,
but what, so what I'm saying, but what I'm asking though is, are they going to split it out as two separate Wonder Woman books, or just keep it as the same numbering, twice monthly, switching between the two stories?
I think with the Wonder Woman book, if you switch, like, or any book that you're going to take the two books or one book and split it into two, that, hey, this is a great chance to renumber at number one, because you'll already have 12 issues at 6 months, you know, double shipping a month out already. So that's almost that's a year's worth of books. So why not just go, all right, well, we already have a 12 volume storyline out. If we're going to split these books, Wonder Woman, you know, 1A and 1B, or whatever book they're going to do it with, to me, like the Batman book, they're going to keep going, do that double a month, and keep the same writer and have, like, the art chores like they're doing. And I think, like, for certain books, you can have your cake and eat it too. And by each book, like, I think, like, an Aquaman book, they might, you know, tone back to one book a month and then swing in a Dr. Fate book or a Captain Marvel book or whatever, so you can get more characters in it.
See, I think, personally, part of what you said they really need to do, you know, your Batmans, your Detective Comics, your Harley Quinns and stuff like that, those are going to ship twice a month regardless. That's not going to change. I'm sure those are books that they probably knew going in were going to sell. So they had at least, I would guess, a 3 month lead time to get some stuff in the can so that they don't miss anything. I do think at some point they should slow down on all the books that are shipping twice monthly. Maybe your books like Green Arrow or Supergirl or Flash that have TV shows associated with them, that those books should ship twice a month during the TV season.
Right.
So that there's more new product on stands while those episodes are airing on TV.
See, I look at it as they'll know by sales, which I don't have the numbers in front of me. It's like they'll have, like, those books. Like, if this book is selling a certain number, they'll be like, all right, we're going to keep it, you know, twice a month. But this one is lower, so we're going to bump it back to once a month. And like I said, they'll probably want, because the line is so small, because a lot of these books are double shipping, then they could, like I said, make room for an X book, not an X book, but, you know, like whatever book character they want to prominate. So I think it's really, we're not going to know just because we don't have, like, the sales numbers and what their peaks and goals are with these books.
Understandable.
Right.
I'm surprised that there's not a Legends of Tomorrow book.
They just had one before the New 52 ended, that big, like, which was a mistake, at $7.99 a month. And it was like a Firestorm was the only person who was really in the book. But yeah, I know what you mean. They should have did it, but I think they did that title and they're like, now it's time for a different title. That didn't sell. Well, it's $7.99 and with only one character in it. Yeah, it wasn't Legends of Tomorrow.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you mentioned about sales, you mentioned about that sort of thing. So, there was some discussion earlier this week in regards to a Marvel book that got canceled. This is not part of the news, but kind of an interesting topic of discussion, only because there was a Nighthawk book by David Walker, who's also doing the Power Man and Iron Fist book.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is being canceled after 6 issues, and it was a book that was kind of soft canceled by Marvel. It wasn't, like, officially announced that it was being canceled. It just kind of disappeared from the solicitations. People asked him online about it, and he just kind of said, like, hey, sales weren't good. Pre-orders were very low on the book. You know, people thought because of the buzz that I was getting off the Shaft book that I was doing from Dynamite, and the fact that sales on Power Man and Iron Fist were okay, that this book would do okay as well, and it didn't. And then that brought Brian Michael Bendis in, essentially to say that, you know, kind of saying, if you're not pre-ordering these books with your retailer, you know, getting them on those diamond final order cutoff things, you're doing a disservice to the books, the creators, you know, even books from the big two,
mm-hmm.
by, you know, not getting those pre-orders in to get that advance notice into your retailer, into the publisher, and so forth. And I only say that to you because I know you don't do that.
True.
You know, you get the list the day before, look at what's coming out, and just do your list from there.
Right, but to be fair, if it's a book that I know, you know, that's really low print run, I'll mention my interest in it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
To be like, oh, I'm probably picking one of those up. But a lot of these books, to be fair, like a low print run number, it's not going to affect my, like, for other people, maybe, but for the comic shop, the way I do it is, it's going to be there. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be copies guaranteed for me. So I don't know how to explain it. It's like, Dave is probably not going to order an extra issue because even if I put it on my list, he's going to factor that into it. If a bunch of people do, then maybe. So I guess your point is valid. I don't know how to explain it. I just think the way I do it works for me. But then again, you know, I have the ability to go into a comic shop on the Tuesday before New Book Day, pull what I want. I don't know. I feel I'm special. I'm a unique snowflake.
Oh boy, you certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just kind of an interesting thing because I know for me, a lot of times I would see that happen less with Marvel and DC books and more so with indie books, where a lot of times I would have it on my list or I would order it or what have you, and then it would miss the schedule or it'd miss the shipping date. And then it would just fall off, or what would come in from Diamond would be damaged, and they wouldn't be able to replace it with those lower books. But with a Marvel or a DC book, you know, sadly, with today's day and age, we kind of know how long a book is going to last for the most part, probably by the time the second or third issue hits the stands.
Right.
You know, the writing is already on the wall, pardon the pun.
Right.
But, you know, you're talking to someone who, when I go to the comic shop later today, I'm going to be handing a list with stuff all the way up to November on it.
Right. And then this is the guy who dropped a book, you know, that was on his list so he can get Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps and gave no notice.
Well, again, it was a lot of pressure and a lot of bullying by someone, so I had no choice.
Ah, well, you do roll over easy.
I do. So, yeah, I guess, you know, and there's always the question there of whether or not digital sales really mean anything. You know, there's Marvel books that claim that they sell better in digital than they do in print. And then there's other books that say it's like, well, because of the nature of the storyline. And I think this is more like of an Image or indie publisher where the trades probably sell better than the actual single issues just because it's the nature of the story being told.
Mm-hmm.
But who's to say that this Nighthawk book wasn't going to be a gangbusters in sales for trades?
You never know. But I guess right. You got to go by what, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know when it became a business, Leonard, but you got to go by those numbers, man. The all holy numbers when you're, you know, you're a big company.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, and obviously there's only so much that a company can do. And we've talked about this before on the show. But when I buy, you know, a higher end Marvel or DC book, whether it be a Spider-Man book or a Batman book or whatever it is, and there's house ads in those books for other high end selling books, you know, I think that that would be money, quote unquote, better spent on, hey, do you like, you know, blah, 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 then give Vision a try. Or, hey, do you like this? Give this other, you know, fourth from the bottom book a try.
Right.
Like, you know, Harley Quinn, Batman, Spider-Man, you know, Avengers books are going to sell regardless.
Right, but since they're going to sell regardless, with those ads, they'll get even more people. So if you have all the people and then have an ad for it, you'll even get more than all the people.
I get what you're doing here by playing devil's advocate, but it's good to spread that money out a little bit, I think.
Right. But you know what? In the end, if you get even a... And I'm playing devil's advocate. If you get a smaller percentage of people on Batman, there's more Batman merchandise than all that Vision merchandise that's out there. Do you know what I mean? Like, that just is just...
Touché.
Just slopping off the shelves. So they're kind of like leading it to their cash cow, and it's more than just the books. So that's the way I probably look at it.
Right. Well, again, it's something that we won't know what the right answer is until the market goes completely belly up.
And that never happens.
Right. That's it hasn't happened in about 23, 24 years. So we're due.
Came close there.
It's those movies that helped out.
That's right. All Fantastic Four, Catwoman, all the good ones.
Oh, I had a conversation with someone this past weekend who is like tangentially a comic book superhero type person, mm-hmm. who hasn't seen Winter Soldier or Civil War. Or any of the good Marvel movies, but has seen the Josh Trank Fantastic Four movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was more upset about it than, like, you or I or Jason Kirk or Mark Cole or anyone who was on our podcast about it. Like, multiplied. Like, we're fans of the stuff, and we're just like, yeah, you know, you take the good with the bad, and, you know, I guess I see what they're trying to do. And he was legitimately hot about it, how bad the movie was.
Well, you know, I think that man needs an intervention.
Right. Well, I told him, I go, if you watch the good ones, you won't feel this way.
Oh, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the Fantastic Four.
I was going to say the correct Marvel franchises, but yes. So moving along to conventions this weekend, there is a bunch, and they're scattered all throughout the United States of ours. There's a little bit of a smaller one in Minneapolis, Minnesota called Metacon. There is a little bit of a smaller one in San Francisco, just called San Fran Con. Even though one of their top list guests are Kristen Ritter and Jenna Coleman. Are you aware who those people are?
Yes, that is Alias and the Doctor Who's companion. They're Clara Oswald.
Is Ian Mc? Oh, yes, and Ian McDermott is going to be there. We've mentioned him before on the show. He was the Emperor in Return of the Jedi.
That's right. And he was actually the Emperor.
Right. He wasn't the puppet or the voice.
The voice is more important than the puppetry.
I think he was both. I think he was the actual guy. Right. And
the, so he's the right. Real deal. He's the
right. He's the real Emperor.
That's right. The factual Emperor.
Yes. The biggie, though, I would say, is Fan Expo Canada, if you're a media guest type person. They are going to have Charlie Cox, Eldon Henson, and John Barenthal from the Netflix Daredevil TV show.
Ooh, that's a get.
Uh-huh. They're also going to have William Shatner, Nichelle Nichols, and George Takei.
Oh, my.
Oh, my, indeed. Adam West and Burt Ward, Mark Hamill, Stan Lee, Joan and John Cusack.
Oh, they have the Cusacks?
The Cusacks.
Wow.
And this is another one for you, Todd. Is Alex Kingston someone?
Yes, that's Riversong.
Oh, boy. That doesn't answer my question.
From Doctor Who. That was the Doctor's mm-hmm. wife for a little while. Oh my God, stop it. You're killing me.
There's a bunch of other scattered, alleged Doctor Who type people there. A Michelle Gomez.
That was the master, but now she's Missy. Because she changed sex when she regenerated.
Mm-hmm. Freema Asiaman.
Oh my God. Martha, you're killing me. Stop it.
Martha. Wait, that's Superman's mom and Batman's mom. Oh my God, they're both named Martha.
Well, if they hook up with Doctor Who and Martha, they can all be friends.
So yes, that's the big media one. But the big comic book one this weekend is a staple of the show, but not anymore, at least not this year. Baltimore Comic Con is happening this weekend.
Oh, I'm so sad.
And it pains me not to be at Baltimore Comic Con this weekend, but of course, Chikara takes precedence over most things. Weddings, christenings, other things with my family. Mm-hmm. Baltimore Comic Con.
Day drinking.
Day drinking, night drinking, afternoon drinking.
After dark drinking.
I actually couldn't drink today because I have blood work tomorrow morning.
That doesn't matter to me when I do it. I figure they'll just get an interesting reading if I drink.
I might have, it said that I can't, we're off the subject of things here, but it says that I can't eat or drink for 14 hours before my blood work, and I think I might have got one in at like 13 hours and 59 minutes.
Oh, that's okay. That's sliding one past the goalie.
Right. So yeah, Baltimore, LaSalle, next year though, hopefully it's not aligned with any other big deal things and I'll be able to return to Baltimore because Baltimore is one of my, it is the best con out there, bar none.
It is my favorite.
Yes.
I'm not going to say it's the best.
Okay. It's my favorite.
It's my favorite. And yes, I'm sad too. And hopefully next year my water heater won't explode and my tires won't blow up and.
Oh, there you go.
And all that other stuff right before the con. So I still have a chance to go. I have somebody ask me if I want to ride one of the days of the con. And I'm like, I hate you. I hate you so much.
So we'll have links to all these conventions if you plan on going to any of those this weekend. Also, in the show notes will be the links to Soon to Be Named Network, which is links to all the shows in our little fancy network of podcasting. I know there was a Prime Defective most recently, and I know there'll be a Puzzle Warriors this week. And we have us, of course, the main show, the Mothership, and Longbox Heroes After Dark this week.
Hmm.
One for the ages, Todd.
I think it's some of our best works.
I would say, as a little bit of a tease, Light Pearl Ash Blonde.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
So, again, it's going to be, I have a feeling that more than one person is going to come up to me this weekend in Easton, Pennsylvania, at the Palmer Fun Center for Chikara King of Trios, and say, hey, I heard After Dark this week. Unbelievable.
That's right. All the people there are going to have an East infection with the show. No? Easton? Get it?
So moving along to digital sales and freebies, some of the stuff that's on sale, Marvel has a bunch of the trades of Thunderbolts on sale. It is the first three trades by Kurt Busiek, and then whatever the most recent stuff is before this most recent relaunch. I will say that especially that first trade at $4 is a steal. Some of the best comic books ever is that first trade of Thunderbolts.
But the first issue was spoiled for me.
Todd, it was spoiled for you 19 years ago. I think you should have been able to get over it by now.
Some things I just can't shake.
I guess. Image is having a sale on their Prelude to Eden's Fall under the Top Cow imprint. And Marvel is also having some of their best single issues of 2016 on sale. So if you waited on picking up things like the newest Black Panther, the Steve Rogers Captain America, or Civil War II number one... all of those are on sale for $2 a pop.
Mm.
And if you want free stuff, of course, we have the list of the freebie stuff and some of the new Marvel freebie stuff that's available. There's a theme to it, if you will. They have Cable number one, X-Force number one, Avengers X Sanction number one, and Deadpool Pulp number one, all for free this week.
That's some good stuff.
Some interesting stuff.
Some great stuff.
Let's not go so crazy and say X-Force number one is good stuff.
Hey,
you don't even get the card when you get the free digital version.
You get a digital card, I heard.
You heard. I checked. You don't.
I heard through the digital from the digital people that there's a card, but there's probably not. Is there autograph variant covers?
There is not. Remember when we talked about doing variant for digital and that was going to be the future?
It still could be. We have plenty of great ideas that aren't used. If we just had a pitchman for it, that's what we need.
Right. We need someone to really get out there, kind of a flashy individual, a smooth talker, who really can kind of sell that stuff for us. Mm-hmm. If only we knew a guy. So let's get into what we read from this past week. Let's start off with Blue Beetle Rebirth number one. Written by Keith Giffen, art by Scott Collins. Todd, I'll let you kick things off with this. Essentially, this is Jaime Reyes working with Ted Kord. Ted Kord is kind of like the voice in the earpiece, as Jaime is the guy out in the field taking care of business. He gets called out by these two villains. And, so what did you think of this? What are your feelings on this? What do you got?
I thought it was interesting. The way it was pitched that I saw, that it was going to be both, you know, Jaime and Ted Kord. I felt it was way more Jaime than it was Ted Kord. So I would like more Ted Kord. I'm a Ted Kord man. Can't lie. But it was interesting to see, you know, Jaime trying to juggle his school life and this adventure. But the weird thing for me was Ted was a little too flippant about how dangerous it was for the Blue Beetle. But in the end, I'm thinking that that's coming off as the character, because they're establishing that he did have the heart attack that he did have pre-New 52. And I think it's somebody who's trying to cling to superheroing vicariously through, you know, a younger person, kind of like a parent, you know, trying to relive their sports glory with their child. So I want to kind of see where that goes. And it was cool seeing the Beetle again, the big bug. I wasn't blown away by this, but because it has Ted Kord, I kind of want to see where it goes.
I think I like this a little bit more than you did. Mm-hmm. As I did like two out of the three previous Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle series that came out. Mm-hmm. I think one helped that it was written in part by Keith Giffen, of course, had some beautiful Raphael Albuquerque art in it, as well as some, Cully Hamner art as well. The other two, you know, you can kind of take it or leave it. But if you had any sort of affinity for Jaime Reyes, but you missed the Ted Kord stuff, I think they do a good job of mixing the two here. Mm-hmm. Kind of the two different lifestyles and everything, as Todd had mentioned, where it is DC Rebirth, so kind of like all bets are off. Like, every story that kind of ever happened is all in here, because it's referring to Ted no longer being able to be a hero, and I think him living vicariously through Jaime, I think, really shown through. And the fact that Ted is kind of more aware of what the Scarab is this time, as opposed to Jaime's the one actually using it. So he's a little bit more trepidatious, where Ted is like, yeah, you just go out there, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his mind, the Scarab will be able to do anything for him. And then we kind of get I don't know if it's going to be a status quo changing thing, but everything we knew about the Scarab might be wrong.
Right, or it might be an older version too, so.
Okay, at least this version of the Scarab.
Right.
Right, everything we knew about this version of the Scarab might be wrong. So I thought that was a very interesting...
Reveal,
yes. And I think this book, more than anything, shows... we talked about last week when the Blue Beetle stuff was on sale digitally. We talked about a lot of that Justice League International stuff. That I think Ted Kord is 100% absolutely the voice of Keith Giffen. Like, I think that's the character that he writes the best.
Hmm. I always heard, and through interviews with Keith Giffen and DeMatteis, that the character that Keith wrote as himself in Justice League International, do you know who it was?
Oberon?
Yep. Crotchety little man, Oberon.
Right. Now, see, I think, like, that's Keith's proxy in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely get the feel of maybe Keith has the most fun writing Ted.
Right. I got what you're saying. And I can't understand why Keith would write himself as Oberon. He's always been a delight whenever I've met him.
Oh, my goodness. So I enjoyed Blue Beetle. I'll be sticking around for this. Like I said, I like the issue and I like the hook at the end.
Right. I'm going to try to. I don't know. I didn't know that it was going to be Ted as more of a mentor. I thought it was going to be him in Blue Beetle action, which still can happen. He can get a magical heart transplant or something and come back. We'll see.
Magic, you say?
What?
So, moving along to one of the other books that we both read, and that was Detective Comics 939. As mentioned earlier in the show, there's a lot of books that are shipping twice a month, where this book is already on its second six-issue story arc, because it's one of the twice-a-month shipping books. But it's still a continuation of what we saw before, kind of seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
It claims that this is part six. My apologies. It claims that this is part six, but this didn't feel like the end of a story arc.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's not over. There's a cliffhanger at the end.
Right. So what essentially happens is they run off Kate Kane's father, who's kind of in charge of the colony. His plan essentially was to have an army of Batman. And, of course, the team that Bruce set up, led by Kate, Batwoman, Red Robin, Spoiler,
Echo.
Was that
Echo Clayface?
Echo Clayface. I wanted to say Misfit, but I knew that was wrong for that iteration of the Cassandra Cain Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of stave off that. They run him off. They have two guys in captivity. And then they find out that his plan is continuing as he is sending his drones, Vanguard 1 style, to Gotham City to take out 40 different targets. And then Tim makes a play to prevent that from happening.
Yes.
All the while, of course, we get the stuff with Bruce, we get the stuff with Kate. Everybody kind of gets a chance to shine. I think James Tynion is doing a great job with writing each of these characters and each of their voices, that everyone kind of feels and sounds and acts unique. And, you know, we've talked before, we've been fans of Eddie Barrow's art for a very long time, and I think his stuff is really good in this.
Yep. I can't agree more. I love the book. I love the beginning where they show Kate and Bruce at Bruce's parents' funeral. I think that's like a brilliant scene. And it's almost weird because you could do that so wrong and heavy handed. But it's beautiful. And with Eddie, like it's truly touching when Kate comes to sit by him and, be there for him because he's family. As this goes on, we see some of the characters. Clayface gets a great moment trying to help people, which I think is fantastic and a little bit of comic relief. As this goes on, the only thing that I'm truly worried about is I'm truly worried about Tim Drake's character right now. Because he keeps talking about how he wants to get out of the business and he thinks he can help the world, you know, doing what he does outside the suit because he's so brilliant and they establish just how brilliant at times he is in this issue. And he's like, just a few more missions and I'm done. And you're like, oh, God, they always say that right before the horrible, horrible thing happens.
I don't think we're going to see a Carl-like fate for Tim Drake.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm worried. I'm worried about Tim. That's all
I think he's going to be okay, Todd.
What? Are you saying characters never have been... A bat person has never been something horrible done to him? I'm not saying he'll never, it'll never be revamped or backstepped, but we'll see.
I'll say this, and again, this is unfortunately the nature of the beast and the way that comics are done today. I think if something was going to happen to Tim Drake, they would have press released it a month or two ago.
I don't know. What? Are you saying that they like to get the jump on things?
They like to spoil their own stories when it comes to deaths or rebranding of things, not comics, Todd.
Anybody but comics.
So the last book that we're going to discuss here is yet another DC book I did not read, but Todd read, and that is The Hellblazer number one, written by Simon Oliver with art by Moritat, favorite of the show here. Todd, this one's all you.
Basically, this is the story of Swamp Thing coming to Constantine because a favor needs to be paid. And spoiler alert, this time it's a favor John owes the Jolly Green Giant, which is weird because it's usually the other way around. And while that's going on, there's a bookend story of something in the past that somebody goes out of their way to start World War One, and that may be, you know, mysticism involved. And then in the current day, the second half is like, you were right for trying to stop me starting World War One, but you not for the reasons, and we're not really sure what all that is about, but that's like a subplot. But the fun part of it is to see John and Swamp Thing like go back and forth, and the fact that a lot of the stuff that they're talking about, I remember, like Swamp Thing borrowing John's body so he could have a baby with Abigail. And we slowly begin to find out that the favor that Swamp Thing wants is he wants him to help find Abby, because Abby is not in the rot where we last saw her. She's somewhere else, and Swamp Thing can't find her, so John's going to help him. And I don't know. I just think it's fun. I think Oliver must be a British writer, like an actual British person, because he's using a couple of phrases that I have to go look up, because I don't know any British people that can explain them to me. So I'm having a great time with this.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You don't know any British people, or you don't know any British people that could explain it to you?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Okay.
But no, I'm just joking on that. Like, it was one of those things that I'm kind of like, all right, I don't understand this phrase or this phrase. So hopefully they're actually, you know, British, and it's something that I'm not catching. But it's a fun book. I don't think it's, like I said, as dark as the Hellblazer series from Vertigo. And I don't think it ever will be again, because it's in the mainstream book. But I think it's a good read. If you're a John Constantine fan, or you like the TV show from a little while back, give it a try.
He is a British person. He wrote, if anything that you would be notable of, he wrote some random issues of Gen 13.
Okay.
He also wrote the Convergence Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighters 2-issue deal when all that jazz was going on.
Vaguely remember that.
And he also did the Hellblazer Presents Chaz the Knowledge miniseries in the late 2000s.
Okay, I have that. I remember that now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does a good Chaz in this. I'm glad they brought Chaz back.
He's also, and again, this is for you, writing something called Last Gang in Town from Vertigo.
Hmm.
That
is about a gang that's the last in town.
Well, again, it's just that you enjoyed this, so I figured I would mention that. I guess it's currently being published.
Question mark.
Would you be surprised the DC site is not 100% clear on
what?
That?
Well, go to the Marvel one. That one's more accurate.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to jump in front of a bus over the Marvel one. So you mentioned the Swamp Thing stuff, of course. So it sounds like, much like the Blue Beetle stuff, where it's kind of a mix of all the Blue Beetle stuff that we've seen in the more recent, I guess, at least Blue Beetle would be post-crisis stuff, where there's some pre- and mid-crisis Swamp Thing stuff that's being referred to here, especially like the John Constantine Swampy using his body and all that sort of jazz.
Yeah, it seems the only thing that I didn't recognize anything, and even some of the New 52 stuff, because they mention his time in New York and something happened there, and he's like, I don't want to talk about it. So it seems like a mishmash of everything. So if you've read any John Constantine, maybe you'll like this.
Interesting. Again, if anything would pull me in, it would be Swampy, but you've already tricked me into getting one extra book that I didn't originally have on my list. So.
Well, that's what I do. I trick.
You're a trickster.
I am. I'm James Jesse, the trickster.
Oh, boy. All right. So, let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday around 5:30, 6 o'clock Eastern time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to all of the books that are coming out this week. Whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them in trade, as we discussed before, know what's coming out, be ready, be forewarned. Hey, make sure your favorite book is still being published. This is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out. Todd did recently narrow the gap. I have 22 correct guesses. He has 21 correct guesses. And this is a fifth Wednesday month, so it is a kind of light month. I started, so I'm going to pick first. And I'm going to guess the book that you are most looking forward to coming out this week is Saga number 37.
You're probably not going to believe me, but it's not.
How dare you?
Because the Suicide one-shot is written by John Ostrander.
I know who that is.
And I haven't read a Suicide Squad Ostrander book since the Gail Simone Secret Six pre-New 52. And while Saga is the best book on the market, this kind of tugged at the heartstrings with the movie and like old John Ostrander love. I'm like, you know what? I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, I'm glad that you're a liar. So
you don't believe me?
No, I believe.
Okay. Is it my turn to guess yours?
Yes, go ahead.
So it's definitely not Suicide Squad because it's not on your list.
Correct.
Is it Saga 37?
It is Saga number 37, and we're all tied up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's 0-0 or a million, as you always say, because it's tied up.
It's like the baseball season. I forget who I asked this weekend. When I was out in Ohio, I asked them how the Indians were doing, and I forgot that they think sports are real.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
And they were very happy, to say that I guess the Cleveland Indians are first place in the American League East.
Mm-hmm. And since the city recently won the basketball,
right,
that they're going to win the baseball, but they're probably not going to win the football.
I go, they really have a stranglehold on that first place with another 2 months of games to play.
But hey, I don't know. I don't know how long American cricket goes for.
I just know that there's like 180 games in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when it's like 2 months in and everyone's like, well, you know, like there's five teams that all have like 22 wins. It's like, well, it's really anyone's game. It's like, yep, because there's another 6 months to play.
Hey, as long as you hit the home runs, that's all that matters.
I guess. Everybody needs to be gassed up again. That's what I say.
Oh, the long ball. Just coming out ripping their shirts while when they swing the bat.
Oh man, what's the fancy gentleman's little friend's name? Nick Swisher.
Yes, Swisher.
Oh man. So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click around on some of the other things, whether it be past pull posts, whether it be past questions, whether it be past episodes, episodes of Longbox Heroes After Dark, and hey, the little store link there, maybe keep an eye on that in the next couple days. There might be some new stuff popping up there.
New stuff? I could hardly
wait. New price-to-move stuff is the best way I could. New better price-to-move stuff.
New better?
Yes, new better.
Oh.
And while we're waiting on the store side to be updated, fixed, or otherwise, of course, you can help us out by clicking on the Amazon link across the top of the page. Anything that you purchase through there will help us greatly, no matter how big or small it is. Whether you buy something as big as Iron Man 3, The Art of the Movie, or if you buy Despicable Me Minion branded Tic Tacs.
Oh, they sound delicious.
I do know from my own personal experience, having a child who likes both Minions and Tic Tacs, that the Minion banana flavored ones are horrible.
What? How could that be?
You as a Tic Tac man yourself should do a Tic Tac challenge on YouTube.
You know what? That's what we need to do. More YouTube stuff on this show. Because the real podcasts are on YouTube.
That's right. I was going to say, because there's one thing that people need to see more of, and that's our faces.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Nope.
We would be so, I don't know. We go over the things because we'd be so big and people would love us.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that you can check out while you're over at longboxheroes.com is the entry into the 2016 Longbox Hero Pigskin Pick'ems. Nothing fancy when it comes to this. It's just you pick the winners, no line, no spread, no nothing like that. And you will compete against not only Todd and I, but also other people on the network itself. We have had some recent people sign up. I think you would help some people, of course.
Yes, there were some people who just aren't that smart, and I have to take care of things for them.
Wow. But the lineup is piling up pretty big, and I know we owe Tom Durinick a trophy from last year, but you know, I'm sure if someone outside of our, you know, 20 to 30 mile driving radius wins, we might buy you something fancy as a prize.
And if Tom wins again, we'll buy him one trophy with two dates on it.
There you go. So the link to do that, if you've done it with this before, it's even easier. All you just got to do is click the little link and add yourself again. If you've never done it with us before, it's fun. I hate football and I have fun doing it.
That's right. Raiders.
And I hate most everything.
Oh, you are a man who loves his hate.
That's right, I do. So be sure to follow the show on Twitter, Longbox Heroes. Follow Todd on Twitter, Roker the Joker, R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. The best live Raw tweeter in the history of tweeting Raw.
Yes, yes, and I'm excited about Raw lately.
Did you stay up to see it happen, to see the magic happen?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
My neighbors were mad at me.
So we're talking about Todd's idol and idol of millions, Kevin Owens, won the delicious red fruit roll-up belt.
The licorice strap.
The licorice whip belt. No, I don't think the belt looks as terrible as everyone else says that it does. I'm just very happy that Kevin Owens is like the champion on Monday Night Raw. That's pretty cool.
Yep. You know, it's terrible what happened to the Demon King, but we got KO out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Remind me, we'll talk off mic about that sort of stuff.
Okay. Wrestling. I'm going to write down.
Right. Usually I'm pretty free with some wrestling talk, but once in a while I got to dummy up with some stuff. Uh-oh. So.
Everybody who wants to know, I'll give you my PayPal account later.
So also, lastly and not leastly, of course, is our weekly question where we ask you, the listeners, to join us in a discussion of the best blank. And that would be the best blank. And it's a myriad of things, whether it be a hero, a villain, a team, an idea, or a concept. This past week was the best Joker. And we had people mentioning, you know, of course, and I put some pictures in there, you know, I tried to include video game stuff, even though I don't play video games, of course.
Mm.
People mentioning, of course, the Heath Ledger interpretation from the Dark Knight film, people mentioning the Cesar Romero version from the Batman TV show from the 60s. But Todd, I ask you, what is the best Joker?
My favorite Joker, and shockingly enough, as most of my Batman characters, is the Mark Hamill Joker from Batman the Animated Series. I always thought Mark Hamill always kind of nailed them, and I found it fun watching those, you know, back in the day watching those Batman the Animated Series. And a lot of the Joker, you know, episodes are classic ones, so I'm going to have to go with that one. He's pretty darn good.
I would have to agree with you as well. The Batman animated series, as you mentioned, voiced by Mark Hamill, is probably my favorite interpretation of the Joker. However, I do have to put a caveat on that, in that my favorite look of the Joker is the late 70s, early 80s look of the Joker. Like your Alan Davis drawn and like the people who drew him in that era.
The classic, like, Neil Adams, Garcia,
yes,
Lopez.
Neil Adams. Right. That is my favorite look of the Joker. Very classy, very, you know, colorful. The suit, the cane, the whole deal.
Very svelte.
Yes. I really like the way that Joker looks. If there was a way that we could have all of those old issues voiced by Mark Hamill for me, I would be very happy.
I bet, you know, when this show takes off, you could hire him to do that.
Right.
Get Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill to read your Batman comics to you.
any day now.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then next week, we're going to be discussing the best origin.
Ooh.
Kind of who or what has the best origin in comics.
That's a good one. I don't think we've ever done origins.
Nope. That's what happens when I'm left to my own devices and I'm not near my computer for a while.
That's right. I just looked at the notes to see what the next week's question was. And right. I see that you left a blank there, but there were bigger fish to fry in the email chain today.
Oh boy. Boy and boy howdy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a little bit of a shorter show, I think. I don't look at the time. You know, it's fine. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. And I guess, was there anything else that we missed, or...
No, we have no TV, so...
Right, no TV, no movies, and I think I saw someone tweet the other day that we're about 6 to 8 weeks away from Walking Dead coming back, and probably right around that same amount of time before Flash comes back, at the very least.
Yes, Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow. Oh my god, so much comic book TV.
Most of those things I just don't have time to watch.
You don't have time, but you're up so late.
I should be using that time to read comic books, but I'm using that time to swear at myself for not being able to fall asleep.
You're too busy banging your head off things trying to knock yourself out.
Correct.
Well, yeah, I guess we've covered everything we need to cover on this wonderful episode of Long Box Heroes.
Yes, indeed. So, for Todd, this is Leonard closing out episode 309 of Long Box Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boo!